In some more encouraging news about the pandemic, cases are down in 41 states, including here in New York, and hospitalizations are also down about 10% in just the last week. But there are concerns about the low supply of what experts say may be a game-changing pill, Paxlovid from Pfizer, which is used to treat COVID-19. Joining me now is Dr. Manish Garg, emergency medicine physician and co-founder of World Academic Council of Emergency Medicine, and he is based in here in New York City. Dr. Garg, good to see you. I want to get to that Pfizer pill because most Americans are not going to have access to that Pfizer treatment for at least a month or longer. What does that mean in our fight against COVID? And should the federal government somehow get involved to make it more accessible, do you think?
Yeah, thanks, Alexis. Thanks for having me on the show again. So I love the question about Paxlovid. This is really important because for those patients who would qualify, and we're typically talking about patients who weren't vaccinated, this presents at least an option for them so that we can help them to get treatment. Now, you have to make sure you understand that right now a person has to qualify in order to get this medicine, and it hasn't been available in the state of New York City or in the state of New York for different weeks during the last month. So right now, the demand is really, really out there and the supply isn't. But there's been assurances that there's going to be a large supply coming soon. So that's an exciting development for people who haven't been vaccinated. And I have to say that obviously that leads to the most important declaration, which would be that, you know, right now we know it's a multi-layered approach and vaccination is the most important thing a person can do to protect themselves and their family.
You know, I just want to talk a little bit about what we're seeing here in New York City, where you and I both are, because Mayor Adams said we've hit some good milestones with this pandemic recently. He says 75% of all New Yorkers are fully vaccinated. That's 11% above the national average. Of that percentage, 85% of adult New Yorkers are fully vaccinated. What are you seeing on the ground in terms of new caseloads? Do you believe that we've hit a peak here in this city at the moment, especially with regards to Omicron?
Yes, Alexis, I do really feel that way. So when we get periodic assessments of where we are in our COVID trends, and what we're really seeing is a total decrease in cases, admissions, and our intensive care stays in the hospital. But, you know, of course, just like you mentioned, you have to think about COVID as like a wildfire with its embers. And so there are other areas of the country that are still going through its surge right now. But we've seen a decrease around 10%, just like what you mentioned. And when I'm working in the emergency department at three different hospitals in New York City, I'm seeing that too. I'm seeing a lot less folks coming in. Interestingly, the CDC just came out with the data that showed that unvaccinated patients are really the ones who are ending up in the ICUs. And that's something that I'm seeing too. The numbers that they shared are about 1 in 10,000. And if you contrast that with the vaccinated plus boosted patients, they are dying at a rate more like 1 in a million. So the bottom line, counts are going down in New York City, which is great. But the vaccines plus the boost are working and should be a strategy that people are utilizing.
In terms of vaccines for younger people, those 5 and under have not been able to, or under 5, I should say, have not been able to be vaccinated. We don't know for sure, but former FDA Commissioner Gottlieb saying this weekend that he thinks that could be coming as early as March. What would that mean in our fight against COVID? Because is that group, those young folks, are they also contributing to the spread of the virus?
Yeah, Alexis, I think we've spoken about that before. You know, I certainly have a child who's under 5. And so for many families right now with children who are under 5, they do have to protect themselves in a way that other unvaccinated families would have to protect themselves, even if they have vaccinated members. So this would be really, really welcome news for a lot of people. Last I read, though, Alexis, about 20% of people in that 5 to 11 age group haven't really been vaccinated. So in addition to having it available, we really need to do good public health messaging to make sure that parents are, in fact, giving vaccines to their children. I mean, I can speak from personal stories that my colleagues, most of them are getting the virus, not from work, where we're taking care of patients every day, but they're actually getting it from their kids. And so I know a lot of the kind of anti-vaccine in children sentiment really focuses on the mortality, like the death data in children. And thankfully, the numbers are really, really low. But when you think about it, these kids, it's not just about the death data, there's other conditions that they can have, like long COVID. They can have this multi-inflammatory syndrome. Certainly, there are other variants that are out there that are come, and we don't know if these newer variants will have a larger impact on children. So it's really important that they get vaccinated, and it would be welcome news if we can get this vaccine early to that age group. Only thing I'll say, Alexis, also, is that right now, Dr. Gottlieb had mentioned that it's important to think about the dose regimen. So the March would be for the two-dose regimen, which would really decrease any type of death or hospitalization in children, but it wouldn't really quite hit the symptoms. So hopefully they'll be able to get a product out there that matches what we have for everybody else, and that will take care of symptoms plus the death and hospitalization.
You know, Doctor, would love to get your thoughts on some new data showing that vaccination rates for other kinds of vaccines are way down during the pandemic. It seems like if people are getting vaccinated, it's for COVID-19 and they're forgetting about things like Tdap and HPV. What would your advice be to Americans hearing that? Because for some, it might be, you know, I don't want to put all of that in my body. I'll pick and choose the vaccines that I'm going to get during this pandemic.
Oh, yes, Alexis, great point. This is a really, really critical thing. In fact, right now, getting your flu shot, if you haven't gotten your flu shot, it's really, really important to do that. Flu is making a big case, and it's making a big comeback. And so that's important. There are other vaccines that are really important for Americans and for people around the world to make sure that they're getting. And it's as I've read it and we've looked at the adverse events, it's actually quite safe to be getting the vaccines, other vaccines, or even around the same time. But if people want to stagger these, sure. If that makes them feel better, it's really important that you speak to your physician about getting these done and getting this through. So you're protected against all of the different possibilities. We are seeing other conditions, people coming in with other types of viruses that they would normally be protected against, like the flu virus.
Right. We have to stay vigilant. Dr. Manish Garg, always good to see you. Thanks so much.